I got my fists together right now. I'm praying you slow it down. I'm praying you slow it down. You slow it down. Speed it up, then slow it down. Speed it up for me. One time, just one time. Just slow it down. Yeah, just speed it up, then slow it down. Speed it up for me. One time, one time. Baby, just slow it down. Yeah, I know.
What's going on, family? This is Tariq Nasheed. Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Elite Radio, and I am broadcasting here in the Bay Area. I'm not in Los Angeles right now. I'm in the Bay because we're doing some filming for the brand new movie 1804, but we're still going to chop up some good game on today's show. So the phone number is 818-850-5404, and we're going to do a real quick commercial break, so don't you go nowhere. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio. Hey, you guys should check out OneBlink.com. OneBlink is the largest online black business link in America, and it's created to give black-owned businesses a place to shine. Their growing database of over 15,000 verified black-owned businesses allow you to search for local businesses in your area with complete ease. So you need to go there right now, network and politic at oneblink.com. That's the number one, bblink.com.
This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Hey, if you want to see a very interesting take on life and entertainment, check out the blogger and the aspiring filmmaker, POV Hilarious D. He has a very interesting look and outtake on life, and the guy is very funny. So go to his YouTube page, go to YouTube, search POV Hilarious D, and subscribe to his page right now on YouTube. Again, that's POV Hilarious D.
Black people are being ethnically cleansed in America, and you're next. The creator of the acclaimed documentary 7 AM is back with an explosive new film, Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style. The American Holocaust won't have gas chambers and ovens. In the 21st century, making it too expensive for you to afford to live is the most humane form of genocide the world has ever witnessed. Go to our website, youwillbemoved.org. That's youwillbemoved.org.
What's up, family? Let me tell you about this year's best kept secret. That's LegendaryMix.com. If you're a recording artist, a music producer, and you want to bring your music to legendary status, then go to LegendaryMix.com. It's rated the number one online music mixing and mastering service. It's the only place you can enjoy radio quality, high quality mixdowns, and professional mastering for a great price. If this message ain't for you, then tell a friend about LegendaryMix.com. Top quality service and fast turnaround time is guaranteed. Subscribe today. Save 10% on your order. Call or text 347-565-5892 or email music@legendarymix.com. Yo, are you tired of living in your grandmama's basement? Are you tired of driving a raggedy-ass car paying high interest rates? Are you tired of getting second-rate lace fronts and weaves? Well, you need to let the credit experts at Credit LC restore your credit and get you in that brand new home or car. Credit LC will even show you how to use your credit to get investment properties so you can get paid and stack paper. Go to creditliteracycoach.com or call or text 312-870-0733. That's creditliteracycoach.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
What's going on, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. And like I said, I'm broadcasting live right now. I'm in the Bay Area right now, so that's why the audio might sound a little different. I have my mobile set up, but we're still going to make it do what it do, family. And again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the call-in number to call up and chop up some game with me. A lot of stuff that we're going to talk about and chop up on today's show. Don't forget, everybody, the Indiegogo page, the crowdfunding page for the new documentary, 1804. We're doing great right now. We're at around 72,000 right now. We need to get it over that $100,000 mark within the next couple of days. We need to hit these strides. We're good. Everybody's doing good. I'm proud of everybody who has contributed to the page. Everybody listening now, we need to hit that page again. Make another contribution today if you have. Let's make another one today directly after the show so we can get it over the top. All the new people who have not contributed, make your contribution to the page today, because we are doing one of the most important films in a long time, this Haitian documentary. This film, man, this is why I'm in the Bay now. I'm going to be doing an interview with a brother named Wade Nobles. He's written a great book about the psychology of the African people in Haiti when they conducted the revolution. And this is something that we, as global African people, we need to be taught this on a regular basis. We need to be taught how to stand up for ourselves, how to tap back into the African spiritual system. So we need to get back on our square, and this is very important. So you can go to 1804movie.com. That's where you can check out the site and the crowdfunding page on Indiegogo. That's 1804movie.com. Or you can go to Indiegogo and just check out the film 1804. Just type that in and you can find it, or look under films. But it's just easier to go to 1804movie.com. And everybody, of course, you should have your Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 documentaries popping. You know what looks good? There's a documentary by Henry Louis Gates, Skip Gates. And Skip, you know, he's hit or miss. Skip is hit or miss. But some of his documentaries are very good. I will give him credit where credit is due. A lot of the old school scholars, they're not feeling him. But I will give credit where credit is due. Skip has a documentary coming out about African kingdoms, and that looks very interesting. I think that's going to pop off possibly next month. They'll probably do it for Black History Month. So I'm interested to hear and see what that looks like. I'm very interested in that. Let me see how the phone calls sound. Let me test out a phone call while I'm here. Hello? Let me see if this works. Hold on. Because my setup is a little janky right now. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can answer a call, family. Okay, this shit is real janky right now. Open. Okay, this mobile setup is a beast. Okay, I have the mobile setup pop up later on. I'm trying to do this thing mobily to see how it works. I'm in my hotel room. Okay. Now the phone is ringing and shit like I'm at a damn call center. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Monica from Oklahoma City.
Hey, Monica. How are you, dear?
I'm great. It's my first time calling and getting through. It's awesome.
Cool. So what's on your mind, Monica?
Well, I'm 26. I'm a divorcee. I guess I'm in the middle of a divorce, and I'm kind of talking to a 47-year-old. And I just want to know if you have any tips for someone who's in a divorce, trying to, I guess, get into the dating scene.
Wow, you got married very young.
I did, at 23.
Wow. Did you have any kids from the first marriage?
Yes, I have a 15-month-old baby girl.
God damn, so you just had a baby.
I know. I snapped right back.
Good Lord. So where's the ex-husband? What happened with that?
Well, I think we just wanted two different things. Like, I just graduated with an MFA in creative writing, and he's into video games and just drinking and doing childish shit, so... And he never really got to live out his bachelor phase. So I guess I had to charge that to the game.
Right.
As you would say. But he's happy doing his thing. It was an amicable split.
Okay.
Because when you argue about the same thing over and over again, it's just the smart thing to do is dissolve it. We were married for almost 2 years. We got married July 12th.
Okay.
14. So it was early, but we were friends for 10 years.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me knock this out because the sound is kind of messed up in the people. I don't think they can hear you that well. I would say, how long have you been dealing with the new guy?
I'd say about 6 weeks.
It's very new. It's fresh. But you just had a baby, so that's a real touchy thing. And you got this new 47-year-old dude. He's trying to holler at a chick with a brand new kid. And in the back of your mind, I know you want to kind of low-key work it out with the baby's dad because the baby needs the father, especially at that age. You need two parents there. Your fucking womb is still sore after 15 months. Your shit ain't right after 15 fucking months. Damn. So, I would just take it real slow because right now you're on the rebound. You're on the rebound with a fucking kid at 15 months. So just take it real slow with this dude because you're just trying to get something new. You're rebounding. You're trying to get emotional support because of the breakup and the divorce, not just a breakup, but a damn divorce. So you need to really, really, really take it slow because when people bounce back into another relationship immediately after getting a divorce or something, a lot of times people make mistakes. So you got to chill on that. But email me. We'll chop up some more games, sister. Thank you. All right. Sorry about that, guys. All right. I'm going to chill with the phone calls. Okay, now, hold on. Let me fix this shit so I don't get no more calls. Hold on. I don't need no more calls right now because this shit sounds real janky. Hold on. Let me log out of my call thing. Hold on, everybody stop calling. I got to log out the calls thing because can't nobody hear nothing. All right. So we'll just chop up some ism. All right. No more calls. We're just going to chop up some game. Is the audio good? In the chat room, let me know if the audio was good. I just want to make sure everything is cool. I want to make sure my music ain't too loud. Is everything cool in the gang? Y'all let me know what's cracking. We're doing this thing live. Mistakes and all. We're good? Okay, it's just y'all couldn't hear her. Okay. It's real funny style doing a remote show on the road. I'm in the Bay Area right now. It's cold as hell outside. It's hot as hell in the room. This heat, you know, those hotels, the heat is either real cold or it's real hot. And I'm sweating in my drawers talking to y'all right now. You dig? I just ate some damn chicken. So I'm looking real niggerish right now. But a lot of stuff we got to touch on. Today, we're talking about full circle cooning. There's some straight up and down, full circle cooning going on, family. And for those who are looking at the show live right now, there's a picture on the screen that's absolutely real. It's not a Photoshop picture, but I'll touch on that in a minute. But as you know, Donald Trump, he's about to be sworn in as the president. And there's a lot of coonery going on. And the coonery is going to another level. It's a whole different level of coonery right about now, family. And we got to be on top of our game. We got to have our mouthpiece crisp. That's why tomorrow, by the way, Thursday, there's going to be that episode of the Brilliant Idiot Show where I was on the show with Charlemagne the God and Andrew Schultz. And there's a debate between me and Schultz, and it's a must see and hear debate. It will be posted tomorrow. Schultz has confirmed it's going to be posted tomorrow. Y'all need to have your pens and your paper to take notes, and this is how you deal with suspected white supremacist talking points. Because again, when I do debates, My debates are all about teaching black people how not to get tripped up with words that people in the dominant society use. So Schultz is going to give me the link as soon as he posts it up. And y'all follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And I'm going to post that link out. And I want y'all to take notes because it's a very good debate. He's a very refined suspect, as some people call him. But he's very refined. And you got to know how to deal with people in the dominant society who are refined with their talking points. Real good game. And I don't know. I was on the Breakfast Club. I don't know when they're going to post that interview. Hopefully they'll do it tomorrow. I don't want them to do it Friday. It's too much shit going on Friday with the whole Trump thing. So hopefully they'll post up the Breakfast Club interview that I did. Hope they'll put it up tomorrow. So we'll see. But speaking of Trump, he's about to be inaugurated. And there's been a backlash to a lot of black people who they've tried to get to participate, because Trump has, this is like a Klan rally. This is like a Nazi summit. Everybody knows this. Trump getting in office and he's surrounding himself with nothing but suspected and confirmed white supremacists. And what they want to do, they want to get some token black people to surround themselves with, so they won't seem like the Nazi regime they are. This is nothing but a Klan rally. And they've been desperate to get some token Negroes. And there's some coons and token Negroes who want to go out there and do it. But there's so much backlash, and rightfully so, a lot of people have had to back out. Now, one group of people who've confirmed, there's a school down in Talladega, Alabama, the Talladega Marching Band. Now, they've confirmed they're going to be there. And the thing is, this is very interesting, because there's backlash and the white supremacists know that there's backlash. The white supremacists, they're helping to raise money for black people to show up. This Talladega school, they've raised about $600,000 for them to get there. Now, that money is probably just going to go straight into the school's pocket or whatever, but that's the cost of selling out your children. That's the cost of selling out your children. We put a price tag on that. You can't do that with the white supremacists. You can't put a price tag on that, them giving up their children like that. So the thing is, this Talladega school, they're going to be there, this marching band. And if you are a parent and you have a kid at that school, I would make my kids stay home. I know they're grown. They're not technically kids. It's a college. But I would call my child and say, hey, you need to stay home. You don't need to go there. You know, we need to start standing up for stuff like that, and shame on that school for using them as pawns, allowing those students to be pawns for these white supremacists to use and manipulate. I don't give a fuck how much money they're giving them or giving you, because the kids ain't getting shit. The kids are not getting one thing. So a lot of people have been critical of them, including myself. And and this is another thing. Black folks who are critical of other black people who are going out here buck dancing for the Trump and the rest of the Nazis, the white supremacists are starting to attack them. They've been attacking me relentlessly on their right-wing blogs and news outlets because of me criticizing the buck dancers. But I don't give a shit. I do not give a shit. Because most of you guys are fake news anyway. But the thing is, you had people like Jennifer Holliday, who was going to go out there and sing. She had no problem doing it until she got clowned. And then the gay community started getting on her ass about it. I talked about this on my Sunday's Ustream show. Y'all can check that out at TariqLive.com. I broke that down. So she was one of the people who got clowned and she had to decline, because she knew this was a career killer. I mean, her career is already, you know, regulated to annual Gay Pride Week. And I'm not trying to minimize anybody's career. I know it's hard out here. You need to do what you need to do to get a check. But there's certain things, all money ain't good. Certain things, if it's going to cost you your dignity and the dignity of your community, you got to chill out on that. Some people said that Flo Rida is scheduled to perform. That I don't know. I'm not sure, so I'm not going to clown the brother because I don't know. Some people said Kanye might show up. Kanye has been acting pipish, and Kanye has had one foot in the game and another foot on the coon train for a minute. And that's the thing, man. We're going to have to, anybody, black folks, you show up at the thing, man. We're going to have to slide you right on that coon train. I like Kanye, but Kanye shows up, he's full-fledged coon. We're just going to have to put him all the way on the coon train. Somebody in the chat room said Jennifer Holliday said she got death threats and all that. Yeah, I don't know. She might have. I don't know. Listen, because I get death threats all the time, so I know how it is, and I'm not going to minimize anybody's death threats. Floyd Mayweather. People are saying that Floyd Mayweather might show up. And look, y'all know me. I've defended Floyd Mayweather for a long time. I like Floyd Mayweather. That's our brother. Whenever he would win fights and they would call this man all types of racial epithets, I was right there defending that brother. You know, I've been very proud of his boxing accomplishments. But Floyd has done a lot of soft shoeing. And we got to watch out for black people who's doing the soft shoeing. Because a lot of black folks who are doing all this soft shoeing right about now, because things are about to get thick with these white supremacists with Trump in office, people are jumping on the coon train with both feet. The cooning is going full circle. And Floyd, if you show up, Floyd, you're going to have to be full-fledged on the coon train. I won't be able to defend Floyd no more. Floyd, you're on your own, brother. And you know how these white supremacists are with you. And I know people who rocks with Floyd. Y'all let Floyd hear this. The thing is, there's a lot of black folks out here. You got a lot of good accomplishments. You got a good legacy. And you will fuck that legacy up by doing stupid shit like propping up and maintaining the status of the white supremacists. You're not supposed to go around them and do photo ops. You're not being an American, because these people are completely anti-American with their unconstitutional views about black people. But a lot of black celebrities are scared. But are they really scared, or did they just want to get on that coon train anyway? See, that's the thing we have to understand, because some of these, you got money. Like Floyd has money. Floyd has plenty of money. There's no reason for Floyd to be jumping on the damn coon train. There's zero reason. Is he scared they're going to take his money from him? Do you just want attention? Floyd done made damn near $1 billion. Go sit your ass down somewhere at the end of the day. You don't have to go out here. That's if you're going. I don't want to talk out of turn, because the brother might not even be going. It might just be a rumor. You know, but I have heard him say some soft shoe things. You know, you got to watch it. When people start that all lives matter stuff, we got to watch that. That's why I got to holler at my man Wyclef. Wyclef tweeted all lives matter the other day in reference to Dr. King. I don't know where he was going with it. And he quickly deleted it. Wyclef is my dude. I've been at Wyclef's home, but Wyclef tweeted that. I might have to holler at him and let him know what's going on out here. It's a whole different vibe out here. You can't be soft shoeing. And somebody in the chat room said Mark Lamont Hill, Roland Martin, and Sheriff Clark, they're having a coon war. They're having a coon off. Yeah. Sheriff Clark had the nerve to call Mark Lamont Hill a jigaboo. Ain't that the black calling the kettle pot? Sheriff Clark called somebody a jigaboo, and then Roland, I haven't heard what Roland said, but I know Mark Lamont Hill, he jumped in the mix, and you know, he was like, oh, who are you talking to? And you know, they start going back and forth on Twitter, because Mark Lamont Hill, he's done some soft shoe shit too, but you know, a lot of these dudes are on the fence, and Roland too. See, that's the thing, we can't be on the fence with this thing. We cannot be on the fence. Either you're going to be about black empowerment, or you're going to be on that coon train. And we can't be doing both out here, family. You got to be very serious, because these white supremacists are very serious and these white supremacists are very focused. Then that brings us to Steve Harvey. Now, y'all know with Steve Harvey, I've made excuses for Steve Harvey for years. Steve Harvey has been soft-shoeing for years. I've made a lot of excuses for Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey has been soft-shoe tap dancing. You know, he made a comment some years ago saying he don't give a damn about slavery. I don't give a damn about slavery, you know. I'm like, all right. And the thing is, I look at a person's whole entire body of work. And again, Steve, he's a funny guy. He's a funny comedian. He's done a lot of good work out here. Hardworking brother. He's done a lot for the community. I will give him that. But the thing is, all of that shit can be erased with repeated levels of cooning. If you're doing repeated levels of cooning, at this point, I don't give a shit about what you've done in the past because you've erased all that. You dig? That's my thing. You can't take a couple of steps forward and then go all the way back to the fucking plantation. You just can't play that side of the fence. You can't play both sides, man. I'm sorry, man. And look, I like Steve Harvey, but, you know, when he did the whole Paula Deen thing, Steve was defending Paula Deen. He brought Paula Deen's racist white supremacist ass on his show, and he was giving her a pass and trying to bring her back and prop her up. And I felt a certain way about that. And we put him on the coon train, but I said, okay, he's an honorary member, but now he's a full-fledged member. Because now with this whole Trump thing, he's meeting with Trump. And there was basically a photo op with Trump over at Trump Towers, and you can look on Steve's face. You can look in the look on Steve's face. He knew he was on some sellout shit. He knew that he was selling his fucking soul. Because Steve, he's one of these people, he didn't really get a break until later in life. He didn't start getting money until later in life. So he struggled for a large part of his adult life. So a lot of people like that, man, they get that poverty complex where they got to work nonstop because they don't want to go back to poverty. They're so grateful that they're making money because they've had to work for white people all their lives. And they have that poverty complex and they got to be in good graces with white people all the time. That's why Steve does all that crying. You know, when Steve does all that crying on TV, that's for white people. White people love a crying nigga. Steve, for the last few years, I felt a certain way about that. Every 5 minutes, he's crying about something. Like, hey, Steve, it's your birthday. He goes, it's so very special. My birthday. I'm so happy. You know, his mustache start trembling. His lips start trembling. I said, oh, this nigga's about to cry a fucking again. Man. But and Steve, let me say this. In Steve's defense, Steve recently made a comment about Asian. He made a joke about some Asians. So let me say this. In his defense, let me be the devil's advocate. He made some kind of joke about Asians, and I didn't hear it, but I heard about it because the white supremacists kept hitting me up about it. Something about Asian men not being as desirable, something like that, something to that effect. So they were accusing him of being on some racist shit. So this could have been him jumping around Trump so he don't seem like a racist, so he can seem all inclusive. So it could have been that. So I'm still giving Steve Harvey the benefit of the doubt. I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt. He was probably trying to save his career because that poverty complex comes in, and you know he made those comments. So he's like, okay, I like Trump. I'm gonna cry. You know. So that could be it. But he needs to chill out on that. All this stuff about Trump. I met with Trump and he seemed sincere. I met with Trump. He seemed sincere about urban renewal. No, y'all, look, black people. Donald Trump don't give a shit about no urban renewal. There is no urban renewal, family. There is no urban renewal that Trump is going to do. And see, Trump, what he's doing now, and shout out to D.L. Hughley, because D.L., he called out all the bullshit. He's talking about how Trump is doing all these photo ops with athletes and entertainers, and it's just, it's a game. Also, Trump, he's been talking shit about civil rights activists like John Lewis. He's been talking shit about him. And then Trump went and did this photo op with Dr. Martin Luther King's son. You know, he's doing these fake ass photo ops with strategic black people. And let me say this. Many of Dr. King's offspring now are full-fledged coons. Alvina King, whatever her name is, she's always on Fox kissing ass. Dr. King would not approve of his relatives doing all that. I don't give a fuck about the relatives of the Kings who turned into coons now. A lot of times the relatives are not like the parents. But the thing is, them doing all of these photo ops with black people, basically it's them saying, hey, we're not really racist. Look at this black guy I'm taking a photo with. And then black people walk away talking about, well, he talked about, you know, what can he do for black society? And he's talking about urban renewal and we're going to work with Ben Carson. No, they're not. Look, black people, they're not. Ain't no urban renewal happening. Donald Trump is surrounding himself with hardcore white supremacists and white supremacist suspects. Almost everybody he's appointing has a track record of doing some shit that low-key harms black people. This man is getting Steve Bannon on his side, an alt-right supporter, which is the alt-right, they're nothing but Nazis. This dude, Jeff Sessions is a long-time white supremacist. Coretta Scott King wrote a letter about him, like he should not be a judge. He's too racist. This back in the day. I mean, he's getting hardcore white supremacists. Giuliani, all of these people around him, these people have a track record of harming black people. And I'm telling y'all, when Trump gets in office, the shit is going to be fast and swift. Urban renewal is, let me tell y'all what urban renewal is. Locking black people up. That's urban renewal, family. Listen to the words they're saying. Giuliani did the same shit in New York. Giuliani actually said he has helped more black people because he locked up all the black criminals. That's that slave master mentality where we're actually saving black people by making you a slave. Yeah, slavery actually helped you. You were living in a mud hut. You were going to die off anyway. So what we did, we gave you Christianity. We got you out of the mud hut. We got you away from disease and malaria and tigers and lions and bears and all that shit in Africa. Brought you over here, taught you how to be a good Christian. And now look at you. You're doing great. Now, where's my thank you? That's the white supremacist mentality. Is it illogical? Completely. It ain't about logic. It's about I'm white and I say so. Another Trump supporter, the mayor of Maine, Paul LePage, he actually said the other day, you know, and he has a track record of saying the most vile racist shit ever. He's the one who blamed the drug problem in Maine on drug dealers coming in from New York because ain't no black people in Maine. So he had to blame it. How do you blame a nigga? Well, it's drug dealers from New York named Lefty, Shifty, D-Money. They're coming up here selling drugs and then impregnating the white women. He literally said that. He literally said that. This is a motherfucker who said this last year. He also said that black people are the enemy. Police have to target the enemy and the enemy of black people. I mean, this dude has said vile shit. He's like on some Hitler shit. And this is one of Trump's dudes. Trump supports this guy. That's his dude. And LePage recently said people like John Lewis, who's complaining about Trump. Hell, y'all need to thank white people, especially white Republicans, for ending slavery. Where's our thank you? Now, I tweeted, I mean, they're white Republicans like Ulysses S. Grant, who was a slave owner himself. But the white supremacists, they love to ignore that little fact. But this is the mindset that they have. They justify harming us by saying they're helping us. White supremacy is all about deception. Deception is warfare. Warfare is deception. That's what the art of war says. Warfare is all about deception. So when the white supremacists want to harm you, they act like they're trying to help you. That's warfare. I'm going to help you, black people, by locking you up, because when I lock you up, that reduces crime. See how great I am? That's exactly what Trump is doing, family. I'm telling y'all, that's their strategy. Whenever they start talking about doing something for black folks, this is what they say. They slip these little keywords in. They'll say some shit like, well, the blacks are doing horrible. The black communities, they're doing terrible. What we're going to do, we're going to do urban renewal. We're going to give more resources to our police. They'll slip that in real fast. We're going to talk about education. But they're telling you what they're going to do. Ain't no urban renewal. The renewal is bringing back stop and frisk. That's their thing. These people are running a white supremacist regime, and that regime means harming black people. That's what all of these people voted for Trump for. They want to see some Negroes harmed. Because the thing is, Trump ain't about to give no white people no jobs. He ain't about to create no jobs. He ain't about to do shit. What he's going to do is harm black people, and the poor white people who voted for him, they're cool with that. That's what they want to see. They want to see some bloodletting. They want to see the Colosseum get filled and some Negroes thrown to the lions, just like they did in Rome. We're going to keep the people poor, but let's get some of the infidels and throw them in the lion's den. And that's our entertainment, and we're satisfied with that. So we got to understand the game that they're playing, and this is why Trump is getting very well-respected black people to do photo ops with, like Jim Brown. And look, I love Jim Brown, and Jim Brown was trending today. His name was trending because Jim Brown, he was on CNN, then he was on Fox, you know, giving props to Trump, talking about how he's going to support Trump with every bone in his body. And a lot of people were criticizing Jim Brown, and I am criticizing him too. And this is, Jim Brown has been in my movie. Got the utmost respect for Jim Brown. I grew up on Jim Brown. Jim Brown's a legend. He's done a lot of great things for the community. I've been in Jim Brown's home, met his wife, family, chopped it up with that brother. Love him to death, but I adamantly disagree with his stand on Trump. I couldn't disagree with that brother more. I couldn't disagree with him more. I don't know what my brother's motivation is. I don't know what's going on with my brother Jim Brown. What's his motivation for co-signing Trump? Because you got to understand this, there's a lot of older entertainers out here. And this is just my conjecture, because we see a lot of older athletes and older entertainers and people who used to be in sports. A lot of times the people who keep them afloat are people in the dominant white society. And this is the thing. Let me be the devil's advocate again. Because I want to look at both sides of the equation, because we can point to people and say they're cooning, which I do. But when you have a lot of people who are athletes or entertainers, a lot of the people who, you know, keep them straight financially are people in the dominant white society. That's where they get their money from. That's where they get their praises from. Those are the people who erect monuments for them. These are the people who help them get stars on the Walk of Fame. And one thing I should have did, I wanted to get a star, because Jim Brown doesn't have a star on the Walk of Fame. They recently just started putting statues up of him in Cleveland. And I wanted to get a star for Jim Brown, and I should have done that. Because the thing is, a lot of people, we don't give praises and accolades to a lot of people who ride out for the community like we should. If we're going to be very honest. Now, I'm playing both sides here. A lot of times, people who put in work for the community and really sacrifice and risk a lot, if we're going to be honest, black people, we don't support them and prop them up like we should. Jim Brown has been riding a lot of years, and really, what has he gotten out of it? Because a lot of times what happens is that you ride for your community, but then niggas fuck up anyway, and then you mess up your money up in the dominant white society, and you're like, well, fuck it. Why am I riding for niggas like this? They don't appreciate it. Well, let me go get back with these white people and get back in my good graces with them before I die. That's how a lot of people think. That's how a lot of people look at it. That's why we got to start riding out for folks. That's why I was talking about Chrisette Michele. Now, she's going to perform at the inauguration this week, and a lot of people have been getting on her case. And I made a point about her. I mean, she's a cool singer or whatever, but she hadn't had no hits in years, and, you know, she needs whatever money they're giving. I know they're writing some pretty big checks, and they're going down to the D-list, so they're writing some big checks. And I made a comment, a humorous comment on Twitter. I said, well, look, more black people need to support artists like Chrisette Michele because they can't survive on Tom Joyner Cruise performances forever. And that's what happens. A lot of our entertainers, they're regulated to the damn Tom Joyner Cruise. So we don't support them like that. So they have to jump on that coon train. So the thing is, we got to start supporting people. We have to create an economic base, support people financially who ride out for us for real, who put themselves on the line. So I kind of get where Jim Brown is coming from in that respect. Because look, let me say this. I'm telling you from experience. You know, I ride out for the black community heavy, and I get equal criticism from Negroes than I do with the white supremacists. I get criticism from the white supremacists and the other half of Negroes trying to impress the damn white supremacists. You dig? And look, you know, before I started doing these hidden color films and these documentaries, I had a huge white audience with my relationship books. I can go back and do the relationship books now and just chop up game and I'm good. But I don't like to be phony. That's just not in my nature. I don't like to be no phony nigga. I don't want to be sitting up somewhere grinning in somebody's face and I'm worried about what's going to happen to this a black kid walking down the street. And I'm just not going to sit here and not say nothing about it. That's just not in me. I don't have a good poker face. I can't sit up and be fake around people. So the thing is, I know for a fact, ain't really no money in speaking up for black folks and black issues. There's no money in that. It's really no money in that. Even when you do something successful, it ain't really no money. Just like, for example, I have the most successful independent black documentaries ever. The most successful ever. But what happens is that the shit gets bootlegged. The shit gets bootlegged, so that cuts the profits. Because we'll do some shit. It's like, well, it's all about me. And even look, we're getting money for this documentary, this Haitian documentary. Now we're at like 70,000. It's been about a week and we're at 70,000, which is good. But based on the track record of these films that we produce, that shit should be at a damn $1 million right now. If I were doing some shit for the dominant white society, it'd be at 5 million by now. For example, that school who want to go up to Talladega, I mean, the kids from Talladega, the school who want to take the kids up there to buck dance for Trump, their ass has got over $500,000 in a week. And we're at 70,000. You see the dynamic there? So if you want to make a living, if that's what you want to do, a lot of people, the coon train is paying. Let's be real. The money is in cooning. The coon train is paying. This is why we got to support black empowerment. For real black empowerment, especially when there's a track record of consistent black empowerment. People like Jim Brown, we have to support adamantly. This is why I get a lot of these older scholars and put them in the movies and give them praises, give them accolades, prop them up. This is why before Dr. Welsing died, my idol, I wanted to put her back out there. A lot of folks learned about Dr. Welsing from the Hidden Colors film, and that's sad because Dr. Welsing has been around for a long time, and folks, many people just learned about her in the last few years because she was in the movies. So this is why it's important for us to prop up our idols in black society who ride for us. Because there's too many black people who ride for black society who die penniless and die broke. Like, Dr. King was not a rich, well-to-do man when he died. Malcolm X was not well-to-do. Malcolm X, his finances weren't really in order when he died. And these are people who ride out for us. These are people who ride out for us. You had people like J.A. Rogers, wrote some of the best books on African history in the world. That brother was broke when he died. You had people like Dr. Ben. Everybody who talks about Dr. Ben, this man was a scholar for what, 50 or 60 years? I mean, hardcore, putting in major work, major scholar on African history. That man was broke when he died. I helped pay for Dr. Ben's medical bills. All these fake Hotep niggas out here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get into that, but we got to start looking out for our people so they don't jump on the coon train. People who ride out for us, we have to look out for them. We have to support projects like what I put together. That's very important because this is for the culture for real, and it's making a difference globally. So we just have to support it if we want to keep it going, because these white supremacists, they're supporting white supremacy and they're supporting cooning in a major way, family. And the thing is, now there are some people out there who were athletes and they were entertainers and they were riding out for black society. They might have gotten disenchanted later on down the line and said, well, fuck it. Let me just go ahead and go out for myself. Let me get back in the good graces of the people in the dominant society. But then you have people who were coons from the get-go. You have people out here who were coons from day one. They couldn't wait to jump on the goddamn coon train. And people like that are like Jerry Rice. Now, Jerry Rice, we know, and he's a football legend. Jerry Rice is a football legend. And Jerry Rice, he loves the white women. Ain't nothing wrong with interracial marriage and dating. I ain't knocking that. Shout out to all the swirlers. But Jerry Rice loves the white women. I think, ain't his wife or girlfriend white now? Last year, Jerry Rice, he made a soft shoe coon comment about Kaepernick when my brother Colin Kaepernick came out and he's like, I'm going to sit it out and I'm not going to honor the national anthem because there's so many black people getting killed. Jerry Rice was one of the people talking that All Lives Matter talk, talking about Kaepernick is disrespecting the flag. He really hopped on the coon train, and a lot of people got on Jerry Rice's case about that. Then he tried to dial back some of the comments. He tried to clean it up. But we already had the magnifying glass on him, and rightfully so, because now, this week, Jerry Rice has full-fledged jumped on that coon train. See, we got to watch these soft shoe coons out here. When they start soft shoeing, keep your eye on them, because usually they're waiting for an opportunity to go full-fledged, and Jerry's ass went full-fledged. Jerry Rice is now a spokesperson for Popeye's Chicken. And I got this picture on the Tariq Radio website. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the picture in the description. It's 2017 right now. You know, I hate dating this show, but it's 2017. And people in the chat room are saying Jerry's always been a coon. Jerry Rice is endorsing Popeye's Chicken. So they got him doing commercials. He has on a helmet, a football helmet, with the Popeye's Chicken logo. And on the face mask of the helmet, there's a goddamn chicken wing. There's a piece of chicken on the face mask of the helmet. And he did this commercial, a Popeye's Chicken commercial. He's wearing a chicken helmet, a helmet with a piece of chicken on it, eating the chicken. He's eating some barbecue chicken and wiping his hands on his shirt. He has another hat where he has dipping sauce on his hat with a piece of chicken in the dipping sauce. And he has another scene where he's holding a gigantic butter biscuit. You literally can't make this stuff up. When I posted the picture of him with the chicken wing hat, with it's like a drumstick chicken, people thought it was Photoshop. They were like, is this real? It's 100% real. We've gone full circle, Coonin. Right now, we've gone all the way back to the 1800s with race relations in this country. It has gotten worse. Well, I will say it's gotten more open. It has gotten more open, and it's gotten more old school, because I don't like to use worse or better. There's no worse or better racism. The racism is getting more blatant. It's getting old school blatant. If you look at advertisements back in the 1890s, especially the late 1890s, around 1898, 1899, the turn of the 20th century, you would see advertisements and products of black people biting into chicken, black people stealing chicken, black people biting into watermelons. You had white supremacist lawmakers in office. You had black people getting lynched back then. I mean, all of this stuff was happening in the late 1800s. Now look at right now today. Even back then, the late 1800s, you had minstrel shows. That was the top form of entertainment. You had minstrel shows, black folks tap dancing, black folks buck dancing, black folks being lawn jockeys, black people tap dancing for whites, black people shining shoes, black people being segregated and gentrified, black people being mass incarcerated and working as sharecroppers, working on chain gangs. All of this was happening in the late 1800s. Look at today. Right now we have a Donald Trump, an open white supremacist with other open white supremacists in the White House. You have mass incarceration, black people working back on the plantations in the prison system. You have minstrel show rappers out here. You have minstrel show athletes out here. You have people doing advertisements of them biting into fried fucking chicken. You have bedwinches out here running amok. What progress have we made? When people talk about racial progress, bitch, where? Where's the racial progress? I talk about this on the interview that you guys are going to hear tomorrow with the Brilliant Idiots. We talk about the myth of racial progress. We've gone full circle back into blatant white supremacy. The white supremacy is not even refined no more. When you got athletes wearing a Popeye's fucking chicken helmet and biting on a chicken wing, a grown-ass man who should know better, that's sending a message. And let me tell you something. The white supremacists over at the advertising agency who had him do that, they know exactly what they were doing. They're probably giggling their asses off. They knew exactly what they were doing when they had Jerry Rice get his ass up there with a piece of chicken in a football helmet. And the biscuit. And I've done shows about the whole butter biscuit, the significance of the butter biscuit. Go back and listen to my show called Butter Biscuit Brigade. I break down how during the slave narratives, if you read those old slave narratives that they took of ex-slaves during the Great Depression, the U.S. government went down south and they talked to a bunch of former slaves who were elderly. And one common theme kept coming up. They kept talking about how significant getting a butter biscuit was on a plantation. Butter biscuits were like a form of currency because, again, you're a slave. You're not making money. You got to work every day. So anything, what's a reward to you? You're not going to get free. You're not going to be able to go nowhere. You're not going to be able to buy anything of value. You're a slave. So what would be a reward? So their reward, a reward to a slave back then, was like a good butter biscuit. And they kept talking about how they would brag about getting butter biscuits. So butter biscuits, that's like a running joke with us because it's that same mentality, what Negroes will do to get those proverbial butter biscuits. And they gave this nigga Jerry Rice literally a great big giant butter biscuit in that commercial. Those white supremacists knew exactly what they were doing. And somebody in the chat room said he wasn't bucking his eyes. Oh, the fuck he was. They said only thing missing is him bucking his eyes. Well, in the commercial, he was bucking his eyes. Kiki. He was bucking his eyes in that commercial. But we got to understand, family, these people, there's a lot of older black people who have sold out the black youths. They don't give a damn what these white supremacists are about to do to our youths out here, our children. That's the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. In Nazi Germany, some of the older Jewish people, especially as one by the name of Chaim Rumkowski. I want y'all to look that name up. Chaim Rumkowski. He did a famous speech called Give Me Your Children, because the Nazis were going to go into this Jewish ghetto and they wanted to get all of the sick, the elderly, and the children first, to kill them first. So they basically made this older Jewish guy go in because they propped him up. He was there just like they prop up Negroes now. He was the chosen one to that they would prop up to do all the dirty work and keep everybody in order. He would keep everybody in the ghetto in order so they don't rise up or anything. Keep them calm so they could calmly go into the gas chamber. And he did a very famous speech. You know, I hate to ask y'all this, but just give me your children. And that's what these niggas are doing now. It's like, you know, I got to go meet with Trump. Just give me your children. I know what he's going to do, but I'm getting a butter biscuit out of it. At least I'm going to eat good for the time being. But understand this. Rumkowski, they threw his ass right there in that damn gas chamber too. Just like Neely Fuller said, all slaves are equal. All prisoners are equal. And black folks, we're going to have to get out of this cycle of cooning. Cooning has never worked. It has never benefited any of us. Getting personal individual gains, that don't mean shit. They can take that right away from you. We're going to have to start tapping into our African empowerment systems and our African spiritual systems. Because understand this, when you have Trump using terms like law and order, when they say, hey, what about all of these police killings and all that? And then they start using those Nixon terms, because Nixon popularized that whole term with, we're going to have law and order. That's where Trump gets it from. But even further back than that, that's that whole Hitler mentality. When they say, we're going to bring law and order. Watch these words, because law and order is not justice. Slavery, there was law and order in slavery. It was legal to enslave you, beat you, rape you, and kill you. And they maintained order by having the slave patrols. That was law and order. Law and order does not mean just. It does not mean good. It does not mean correct. In Nazi Germany, they had law and order. It was the law to round up Jewish people and put them in ovens. And they would do it in an orderly fashion. They would have the Nazi regime funnel people into ghettos. Law and order is not a good thing without justice. Watch these terms. Watch these terms. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Show. I'm glad everybody tuned in. Everybody, right now, go to 1804.com. Go to 1804.com. Contribute to the brand new documentary film, family. We got to get serious out here. We got to start talking with our dollars. And we ain't talking about a hell of a lot of money. Let's use some of your strip club money. Let's use some of our rim money. I'm out here putting in this work. I could be doing some nigga shit just like everybody else. Trust me. But we have work to do. I'm putting my resources, my time, my energy, my crew out here to do work for the community. We all have to do it. We all have to get involved. This is a group thing. That's why I don't take the leader thing. I don't believe in that. We're all leaders. We need to be leaders. And the code is the leadership. We have to have a code of empowerment. That's our leader. So we got to get out here and get things done on our own. buck dancing for the white supremacists ain't gonna do it. We have the resources. We need to learn how to redirect our resources to do things that's gonna benefit us as a group for the long run. We need to create history, and we need to be in control of the history that we create, family. Everybody, again, go to 1804movie.com. The money that you're going to give to the Reverend, put that on the movie so we can get this thing done, so you can educate your children, the children in the community, so you can educate your family, so that we can understand what we need to do to empower ourselves. This is the new media, what we're doing. Black folks out here in the entertainment industry, they've led you astray, family. That's the reality of it. All this hardcore cooning, you got all your idols out here biting fucking chicken wings right now, family. That's where we are. We right here. This is where it's at right here. This is the new media. This is what we need to be focused on, what we got going on right here. I'm not biting in nobody's fucking chicken, all right? We going to put in the work. We going to get it done. But I digress, man. Much respect to the family. We out here doing this movie now, man. Everybody, again, go to 1804movie.com. Contribute to the movie. Somebody said, we're in the Bay. I'm out here. I'm going to keep my location on the low. I don't want, you know, because this is San Francisco, the Bay Area. I don't want a Jennifer Holliday fan to roll up on me. A big burly nigga in a cat suit. Like, I don't like what you said, you know. Anyway, y'all, I'm out of here, man. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right, family. And follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Twitter so I can keep y'all posted on when that Brilliant Idiot show is going to be posted tomorrow.